You're listening to WGXC ACRA, Hudson Catskill, 90.7 FM. Just remember, live your life.
Ready to go dark? Coming up on April 4th at 7 p.m., the Thingularity Radio Show is going to cover the eclipse. We are full of nerdy little secrets for the event, so let us light the way. If you miss us, just grab the podcast. Once again, that's at 7 p.m. on April 4th. WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by The Country Shepherd, a construction consultation and client representation service for custom residential projects and maintenance. The Country Shepherd advises clients on every element of their renovation, ground up build or remodel, from hiring the right craftsmen to managing timelines to locating the exact materials that their clients require. Founder Jeff Wilcox has been building custom residences since 1990 in New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, California, and Italy. For more information, visit thecountryshepherd.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Lee Wijeskoud in Stuyvesant, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to WGXC.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Cassie Abel reports for HudsonValley360.com that three candidates are competing for two-year terms as village trustees in the Athens elections this week. Democrats Gail Lasher, an incumbent, and Joey Dilberg are campaigning as Democrats, while Jessica Vermilier is running on the Republican line. Lasher is also deputy mayor and seeking an eighth term as village trustee. Dilberg works as a heavy equipment operator in construction. For the last 5 years, Vermilier has been a member of the Athens Fire Department Board of Directors. Voting ends March 19th. Polls are open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Mid-Hudson News reports that while many villages have elections on March 19th, voting in New York's presidential primary begins March 23rd and continues through April 2nd this year. Analysts have said that both Democrat Joe Biden and Republican Donald Trump have wrapped up their nominations, but the primary voting continues. Voters must be registered by March 23rd to vote in this election. New York is a closed primary state, so you must be enrolled as a member of a party to vote in that party's primary. To register to vote, individuals should contact their county board of elections. And you can read the full story at Mid-Hudson News. Mid-Hudson News reports that local members of the Boycott Divestment Sanctions Movement protested outside of three Hudson Valley McDonald's locations on March 16th. The group is a Palestinian-led movement for freedom, justice, and equality, protested at McDonald's to denounce the parent company's agreement with its Israeli franchisee. The group said, and I quote, "Palestinian BDS National Committee calls on all supporters of Palestinian rights to escalate the global boycott of McDonald's until the parent company terminates its agreement with its Israeli franchisee over its support for Israel war crimes, crimes against humanity, and genocide." The local protests were in Kingston, New Platts, and Wappingers Falls. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Tuesday, March 19th. The equinox occurs tonight at 11:06 p.m. Local early morning temperatures range from 22 degrees in Tannersville to 35 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 41 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be low. Wind gusts make the morning bitter. Around 3 p.m. we see a high of 42 and winds calm down by dark. Overnight we see some light snow falls with no accumulation expected. We get a low of 34 degrees. Wednesday is expected to be rainy all day starting and ending as snow or a mix. We get a high of 48 degrees. Overnight temperatures dip to 28. Snow ends by sun up on Thursday. Things dry out and we get a high of 36. Friday, clear most of the day, high of 41, chance of snow in the evening. Sunset today will be at 6:52 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:55 a.m. Looking way up, we see aurora watches are on for this evening as an Hadouken is expected in the area. Being a giant morphing ball of plasma, it's not hard to see how difficult their trajectory is to predict. Plasma winds will be slow at 378 kilometers per second with an average density of 6 protons per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently pretty terrible, which is a good sign for aurora chances currently coming in at medium. The current sunspot number is 127, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
To stay, I'll be around today to be available for you to see. I'm about to go, and then you'll know for me to stay. I got to be me. You'll never be in doubt, that's what it's all about. You can't take me for granted and smile. Calvin, please, I'm gone. Forget reaching me by phone, because I promise I'll be gone for a while. When you see me again, I hope that you have been the kind of person that you really are now. Got to get in straight, how could I ever be late, when you're my woman taking up my time. Oh, oh, how could you ever allow, I wonder. Pocket for fun, ha ha. When you know that you never number two, number one gonna be number one. I'll be good. I wish I could. I get this message over to you now. You shape me again. I hope that you have been the kind of person you really are now. I'll be so good. I wish I could get the message over to you now.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times. We know that there's a lot of government encouragement around here. We also know that the platforms are actively content moderating, and they're doing that irrespective of what the government wants. So how do you decide that it's government action as opposed to platform action?
Justice Elena Kagan questions plaintiffs' lawyers in a case over how much the government can try to influence social media. Two states brought the case, arguing the Biden administration abridged the free speech of conservatives. The White House counters it just asked the platforms to remove posts on topics like COVID conspiracy theories and election disinformation. The court is also considering a second similar case. The NRA is arguing a New York State official inappropriately pressured banks and insurers to stop doing business with it. Although he says the ACLU often disagrees with the NRA, legal director David Cole calls it a free speech issue.
This was not about enforcing insurance law or mere government speech. It was a campaign by the state's highest political officials to use their power to coerce a boycott of a political advocacy organization because they disagreed with its advocacy.
President Joe Biden has signed an executive order to advance women's health research with $12 billion in funding and better data collection. His wife Jill introduced him at a White House Women's History Month commemoration and called the order an unprecedented step to correct a long-standing problem.
A study was conducted asking whether estrogen prevents heart attacks. 8,341 people were selected for that study. All of them were men.
While not directly related to IVF, the announcement comes as the Biden campaign makes reproductive health a focal point. Vice President Kamala Harris says ever since Roe v. Wade was overturned, voters have been troubled by threats to abortion access and reproductive care.
What kind of country do we want to live in? Do we want to live in a country of liberty, freedom, and rule of law, or a country of disorder, fear, and hate?
Following strikes on the Al-Shifa hospital where thousands are sheltering, the UN is describing a growing civilian crisis in Gaza, including an impending famine and widespread starvation. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says Israel and its allies need to take responsibility.
That starts first and foremost with Israel, who has an obligation to step up and ensure that more is done to deliver food to starving people in northern Gaza. But it's also incumbent on us, the United States, and the rest of the international community to step up as well.
Sullivan says in a call with President Biden, Prime Minister Netanyahu agreed military intelligence and humanitarian officials will go to Washington to discuss a threatened Rafah offensive. I'm Farah Siddiqui for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Former New Hampshire Secretary of State Bill Gardner famously quipped, "You can't hack a pencil." Perhaps, but that mindset has set the Granite State decades behind in its election technology. Now there's another proposal for a state election information portal to finally offer online voter registration. Voting Rights Lab reports that New Hampshire is only one of seven states which does not allow its citizens to register online. HB 463 passed the New Hampshire House January 3rd and will likely pass the Senate. Funding for the portal passed the Senate last week in a voice vote and will be heard shortly in the House Finance Committee. New Hampshire's portal would be more of a secure transit system. Citizens could securely send identity, residency, and citizenship documents to the Secretary of State's office via the portal, and town and city election officials would download and review the registrations. Existing voters would also be able to make registration changes or to request an absentee ballot. Such a system would allow the elderly, disabled, shift workers, and others to register outside of town hall hours, often limited in New Hampshire's rural communities. Studies of states using online voter registration, or OVR, found it was secure, lowered cost, lightened the burden for election workers, increased voter satisfaction, and reduced barriers to voting. We have links to the bills and OVR data at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Find the shadows cast by rainbow, there you'll meet the sage. Feeding rabbits bits of lettuce or cleaning out the cage. He can give you more direction than you ever known.
but peace won't be still of its own free will. Say you want to go exploring, you got to find some truth. You can't stand one more day of Christians shouting down at you. You say you don't dig politics, that never was your bag. People who could run for office wave their private flags. Ain't it nice to fly your waving as all clouds go by, but peace won't be still of its own free will.
Today, I'm going to explore a food-related topic I've recently become more interested in, and that is psilocybin. Also known as the magic mushroom, psilocybin is the only psychedelic food that exists on our planet. I'm speaking with Michael Pollan, a well-known author and journalist who is an expert on psychedelics.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Cameron. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
It's good.
It's been a while.
I know.
With the rest of the world, primarily, as you know, through your well-known book, How to Change Your Mind, as well as the film version of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Netflix series. Yeah.
Yes. And so I want to start off by asking you, what inspired you to study the effects of psilocybin?
Well, a couple things. I've always been interested in plants ever since I became a gardener, which was at age eight. And I know that psilocybin is a mushroom, which technically is not a plant, but we'll leave that aside for now. Plants are geniuses at biochemistry. They create chemicals we can't even imagine. And they have to do this because they can't move around. They can't run away if they're being attacked. They can't locomote. So instead, their genius is about biochemistry. They got really good at it. And a lot of what they're doing is creating defense chemicals. And I've always been interested in those chemicals. Caffeine in coffee and tea is a defense chemical, yet it has these other effects on us. And psilocybin, psilocin, which is the chemical in psilocybin that's psychoactive, presumably is a defense chemical, although no one's actually proven that, but it has this effect on our minds. And so I've always been interested in the fact that one of the uses to which we put plants, besides food and beauty, is to change consciousness. This seems to be a deep human desire.
Yes.
And then I read about these astonishing experiments that were going on at NYU and Johns Hopkins, giving psilocybin to people with terminal cancer diagnoses. And I read about this in the New York Times, and it piqued my curiosity. It seemed like a crazy thing to do. But they found that having a single psilocybin trip would change people's attitudes towards something as profound as their death, and in many cases, completely eliminated their fear of death. So that, you know, I had to learn more. And I started by writing an article about that experiment for The New Yorker. And I interviewed probably a dozen people, most of them cancer patients, who'd been through this process and had the psychedelic experience. But I need to emphasize, it's a slightly different psychedelic experience than people who use these drugs recreationally, you know, going to a concert or for fun. These are highly controlled situations where people are carefully prepared by a psychotherapist for what's going to happen. And that psychotherapist then sits with them for the duration of the trip. And then they come back the next day and they do what's called an integration session, where they try to make sense of what happened and apply the lessons to their lives. So as soon as I learned about that study, I realized this was a really interesting thing to look at. And since then, in 2015, there's been an explosion of research using psilocybin to do everything from help people break their addictions, both to cigarettes and alcohol and cocaine, and to use it to deal with depression, anxiety, obsessive compulsive disorder. And the results have so far been really encouraging.
As part of your research and all of the conversations you've had with experts and participants over the years, what is one story that has stuck out to you which shows the effects of psilocybin?
There was a woman I interviewed who had cancer, and she was in the NYU trial, and she had actually been treated successfully. I think it was ovarian cancer. And she was in remission and had no symptoms of cancer anymore, but she was terrified it was going to come back, you know, that any day now, you know, the other shoe would drop and she would be back in that horrible place. And so she was paralyzed by fear, and she had her psilocybin trip. They gave her, it's in a pill form. It's not actual mushroom, but it's a pill that's been derived from the mushroom. And she had this journey, and in her head, she took a tour of her body and went inside it. And she saw this black mass in her under her rib cage. She knew it wasn't her cancer because the cancer was somewhere else. It was in her ovaries. But she recognized what that black mass was, and it was her fear. And when she recognized that, she screamed at it. And when she did that, and she actually said this aloud, when she did that, that black cloud burst into nothingness, just disappeared. And with that, her fear was gone. And when she came out of the experience, she no longer had fear. And to this day, she doesn't have fear. So that's a pretty dramatic case of how this kind of imaginative process can actually change people's patterns of thought.
Yeah, that's very powerful indeed. In our current world, where maintaining one's mental health can be challenging, how does psilocybin, or I should say, how does taking psilocybin benefit people?
Well, you know, it's still early days, and the studies we have are kind of small samples, although they're getting bigger. But there are many people who think that psychedelics, including psilocybin and some other substances like MDMA, also, you know, whose street name is ecstasy or Molly, that these substances have the potential to really revolutionize mental health care. We do not have very good solutions, pharmaceutical solutions for dealing with depression. We have antidepressants, but they don't work for everybody, and people don't like the side effects. And in general, mental health treatment has accomplished much less than other branches of medicine. So here is a substance or a group of substances with the potential not just to relieve symptoms, but to actually cure mental disorders, several different kinds, ranging from addiction to depression to OCD. So that's a really big deal. Now, we still need to prove their effectiveness. We know that they're safe, by the way. They're much safer than a lot of other drugs that people use. But one of the reasons that the mental health community, psychiatric establishment has been so open to the psychedelic research and so interested in it is because we're desperate for new tools to treat mental health problems. And so there's a lot of hope riding on this. Very positive feelings in the mental health community about it.
Well, I cannot thank you enough for your time and talking with me about such an extraordinary and astounding topic.
I was very intrigued by the fact that you referred to psilocybin mushrooms as a food. And I guess they are a food in some ways, but it's very interesting. Trying to draw a firm distinction between a food and a drug is actually not that easy. You know, is sugar a food or a drug? Is chicken soup a food or a drug? Is a placebo a food or a drug? And so I think you raise a very interesting issue there. It's very hard to draw these lines. But don't have a whole meal of psilocybin mushrooms. I don't recommend it.
I understand. Yeah, I feel like I've gained insightful knowledge regarding psilocybin, and I cannot wait to see what you do next as an author and journalist.
Thank you. Well, I'm flattered and delighted that you got to read the book.
Yes, and listener, if you haven't read and or watched How to Change Your Mind, they're really interesting, and you will most likely find yourself not wanting to put the book down or turn off the show, as they provide you with insightful knowledge and thinking about psilocybin in new ways you might haven't thought about before. Mike, thank you so much again.
Cameron, you take care.
Howdy, New York. New York, New York.
New York, New York. You high and mighty, bright and shiny, fabulous place. New York. New York, New York. You're busy, dizzy, razzle dazzle, scandalous place. New York.
Hello, New York. New York, New York.
Hey, watch where you're going.
Watch where I'm going in New York.
New York, New York.
Ooh. Empire State Building. Wow, it's tall.
The tallest building in the world.
The many bridges, they feed the city.
Bones of planes, tunnels of trains.
It's birthday party time.
Madison Square Garden. It isn't square and it isn't a garden.
Here you're right, it's misleading.
Grand Central Station, the city's train hub.
Choo-choo! Hello, hi, how's it going? Where are you up to?
Choo-choo! Choo-choo! Africa, Antarctica, Asia, Australia, Europe and the Americas.
The United Nations.
Hope for our future.
World peace, the choice is ours. Let's make it happen.
I'm riding the subway beneath the city.
It's underground.
Hey, is this going uptown?
I'm in the shower getting clean. Happy birthday, Joe.
I never had pizza.
One slice, please.
One slice. Ah.
Pizza's delicious. I never knew. I feel alive.
Pizza!
The Statue of Liberty. Liberty!
The Statue of France. They're branded underpants.
You made it, dude!
Happy birthday, Joe! It's Joe's birthday!
Happy birthday, Joe! Armani or Alfani?
I'm inside a taxi. I'm on my way. I'm on my way back. Central Park. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. This is it. I'm finally here. I'm finally here.
It's party time. I'm not gonna forget. Look out!
Thank you. Close your eyes to see great wings enfold the capital of our nation. This is not the snow-eyed dove of the lonesome above, but the rainbow street pigeon of all and no religion. Now in your third eye you, from this giant bird's eye view, 66-1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And you look to the west and see waiting in your nest an oval office in all its present rottenness. Yea, though it be rotten and surely ill-begotten, it's yours all the same and you love it no less. So you sit yourself right down and you begin to brood with a proud and a motherly attitude. And from your rainbow throat comes a rainbow of notes, ringing every chakra like alarum bells, all the way down from the crown to the now painted Easter egg shell. And you witness now with the speed of Jesus how a tomb can turn to a womb, as rainbow waves fill to the gills that bright and oval room, and thread through every ear of every walking, talking nightmare in there. And there among the rest is our good Donald, dead asleep at his desk, and with his snoring and his dreams too bleak and too boring, the room begins to shake, and the shell begins to break, and the sunlight floods in, displacing all the nightmares within, and within each American, a sound and sacred soul begins to stir again. And you, the pigeon, peer in, singing backward from three. At nothing you'll awake and be back in your bodies. Three, two, one.
From 2017, from Columbia County, that's Elvis Perkins with There Go the Nightmericans. Thank you.
From the 2023 A Small Light limited series soundtrack, that was Kamisi Washington with Cheryl on WGXC. The track from Chicago-based sound artist Leah Cole's 2023 album, The Ceiling Reposes, with Cole's cello and sampled sounds of static on the Moment a Zipper.
Lovejoys with Jalight from Reggae Vibes on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Villagers as one.